How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody on the internet, everywhere. I am Brandon Turkus, the managing editor of MotorOne.com, and we're here for another edition of MotorOne.com's Test Car Happy Hour. Joining me with the glasses is newsman extraordinaire, Mr. Christopher Smith.
I don't know about extraordinaire, but happy to be here.
Hey, take the compliment. Take the compliment. And then also joining us is Motor One senior editor, Mr. Jeffrey Perez. Jeff, how are you?
I'm feeling all right.
That is spoken with just such a high degree of confidence.
Yeah.
As per usual, we have a couple of cars to talk about today. Some very exciting, one not very exciting. I encourage everybody to chime in the comments and on Facebook and Instagram and all the other places that you're seeing this with your questions. Hello to Mr. Kevin Hawthorne from Lakeland, Florida, home of the Detroit Tigers spring training.
Nice.
You like that? You like that? I don't even like baseball.
Slide that right in there. Jeff is like, what? What are you talking about?
And he's from Florida. So let's get rolling with our first vehicle. And it is one of the two that I have been driving this week. And it is the Subaru Impreza RS. Now, if you recall from, I want to say, the LA Auto Show back in November, Subaru rolled out a new Impreza. It is hatchback only. This is the sporty RS trim. It's revived for 2023. And I'm just now realizing that I have not looked up any of the stats on this vehicle ahead of today's show. So while I'm doing that, I just want to say that I did not like the look of this vehicle when I first saw it in LA. I found it rather uninspiring. Now that it's sitting in my driveway, especially this red one, it's a pretty handsome little thing. And the interior is well done. There's splashes of color. There's still a fair amount of hard plastic in there. But honestly, for a vehicle that starts in the mid-20s, and this one, the RS, is $31,000, you know, I can see the appeal if you don't really want another one of the crossovers that are out there.
Yeah, I said the same thing when I saw the base version in LA. I was not impressed at all. I actually thought it looked really kind of bland. But the RS version definitely looks better. And I think this B-roll does a good job of showing off like some of the cool black accents and the grill and the RS badge. I actually think it looks pretty good in this RS trim.
Yeah, it's really sharp. I'm a big fan of the RS badge. Like it's on both the front doors and also on the trunk. It's a good badge too. It does kind of remind me of the GR86 badge. Like there's definitely like a little boxer iconography in there, but man, it's a nifty little car.
And if memory serves, the RS also has a little more power than just the regular Impreza.
It is a 2.5 liter flat four, as is super tradition, with standard all wheel drive. It is 182 horsepower and 178 pound feet of torque. That's pretty much equal with the Honda Civic hatchback, Mazda 3, that kind of small but still surviving class of compact hatchbacks. And honestly, it's not as slow as producer Kyle, who has chimed in on the Motor One social media account.
I wasn't going to say it, but
it's by no means a WRX. It is not a Civic Si. It is not some fire breathing thing. But it's got a really, really, really good continuously variable transmission attached to it. I mean, really good. The engine is eager and willing to rev, and it's not too loud, and the power is pretty easy to provoke. I was not looking forward to this car when I scheduled it. It was just like one of those things like, well, I am the first one with a crack at it and I might as well drive it. It's really growing on me. It's a good little hatchback. I'm going to be putting a lot of miles on this thing over the weekend.
I remember years ago, and I'm not that old, but when hot hatchbacks, quote unquote, hot hatches had like 200 horsepower, 210 yeah. horsepower. And now, like, other than the Civic Si, which is still right at 200, the needle has moved so far. Like, what is the GTI? Like, almost 250. The WRX is almost 300. 182 is pretty good. Like, it's not definitely not a hot hatch, but like,
well, it's
that's a pretty solid number.
It's 182 horsepower with standard all-wheel drive, and it only weighs less than 3,300 pounds. I mean, it's
pretty good.
It's not a bad combination. I mean, it maybe a hot hatchback from a few years ago might have been, you know, around 200 horsepower and 2,900 pounds in front wheel drive, but all things considered, like, there's a lot to like here as a sporty light package.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've become so jaded with horsepower. I've said it a lot. You don't necessarily need gobs of power to just really enjoy the drive. I remember the RS, like the OG RS from 2001, before we could get, because I am that old, we could get the before we could get the WRX. And I mean, that was a cool little car to drive, even without the turbo. I'm a little jealous of you, Brandon. I need to come down for a visit this weekend because I want to take this thing for a spin.
Yeah, it's honestly, I'm really pleasantly surprised about the driving character of this thing, but also I wanted to highlight the interior. Like, the RS adds some like splashes of red color in the interior. And Kyle, were you able to download the actual B-roll or the actual footage that I took? Or was I too late uploading that?
We've got Kyle, our super producer, working in the background trying to bring all of this stuff to life.
He's downloading that right now. So we'll be able to pull up some footage of the interior of the car. There's some really good splashes of color. The seats are supportive. It feels like a sporty place. Honestly, even though this is mostly a plastic interior, it feels like it was developed with a lot of care about the car's character, about the RS's character. But it doesn't really stand out that dramatically from the regular Impreza. This one still has the big portrait-oriented display, which I appreciate in a vehicle at this price point. I know that Jeff is very much not a fan of it, though.
I'm not a fan of the portrait-oriented touchscreens in general. I think the Mustang Mach-E does a good job with it. Some of the newer Ford stuff does a good job with it. The Volvo stuff, the Polestar stuff. The Subarus, to me, the screen is super big, which is eye-catching, which is cool. But the touch, just like the quickness, the responsiveness is not as good as you would want. Like, it's not as close to what you get on a smartphone. At least the last time I drove the Subaru with that screen was the Legacy, maybe a year ago. So maybe it got better, but I was never super impressed with it. Yeah, it's a little laggy.
Yeah, it's still very much that. Go ahead.
There's too much going on at the bottom too, was my issue with it. So like, if you really want to dig into, I want to say the climate control stuff is all the way at the bottom. So if you really need to like do some crazy stuff for the climate, you really have to look pretty far down on the screen to get there.
Well, the odd thing that I found about this one is you have this giant screen, but so far as I can tell, it doesn't have like an actual nav function in it. It is, you have to be using a smartphone. And now that brings me on to one of, you know, Jeff's favorite bugaboos about this is that the CarPlay display lives in this kind of like segmented section of the interior. And yeah, Kyle's got the footage that I took up right now. And I actually show the, Kyle, if we could fast forward to towards the end, it actually shows where CarPlay shows up in that interior. This is the car. And actually, as we're opening the door right here, you can see like the red accents on the seats and whatnot. Just these nice little details. But CarPlay is just kind of jammed right in the middle there of the entire display. And it's kind of inelegant and not that great. You can see the touch response for the snare there was pretty good, but the system doesn't really do much to confirm your input, which I'm not a huge fan of. But you can see like the red contrast stitching in the on the steering wheel, and there's splashes of red on the seats, and it's all around like it's a pretty handsome little package, I gotta say.
I mean, you can get into an Impreza for what it's like low 20s or so, I think.
This one is 31 grand.
Right. But not an RS, but like a regular Impreza. I'm wondering, will somebody even consider the regular model if you can jump into one of these? I mean, if this one's 30 grand, it starts in the mid 20s. I mean, I'm almost thinking I wouldn't even bother looking at the base. I would just start with the RS.
Yeah, I'm kind of that same opinion, but I'm also a little bit worried. I mean, at $31,000, like that is moderately equipped crossover territory. And as much as I like this car, it feels like a car on the road. It is the rides. The seating position is much lower. You're sitting much lower in traffic. The handling is better because of it, but it feels relatively small as it's going down the road. And I think for some consumers, that might be problematic in when there are so many options on the in the crossover segment. At $31,000,
I think compact crossovers have gotten expensive, more expensive. I know the Sportage and the CRV all come like pretty close to 30 with barely any options. So 31 for this doesn't seem that bad, but yeah, to your point, I mean, you could get probably a well-equipped Sportage or CRV or something like that. Even a Crosstrek, you can get well-equipped if you really want an SUV. Hatchbacks in general, I mean, they don't really move the needle as much as they used to. I think we've seen that, but
yeah, that's kind of the problem. You kind of nailed it right there. Like the Crosstrek is the one that I see and is exactly where I would gravitate to. You know, especially because it's sharing showroom floor space with this. I like this. I appreciate that it's a not just a car but a hatchback, which, you know, we've covered as a dying breed. But man, the Crosstrek is so good and so similarly priced, and it's less powerful than this. But they're coming out with a new engine that you're driving next week, Jeff, which is I think the same engine as this, the 2.5 liter.
Yeah, I was just going to say, on Monday, I'm heading up to New York to drive the 2.5, which I drove the last generation Sport, and I thought that was the only thing missing from the base Crosstrek, was like a little bit more power, because the base model was pretty anemic. But other than that, yeah, the Crosstrek is just excellent all around. Like, it nails everything. The equipment's really good. The driving's really good. I actually wanted to say on the CarPlay front, they have since improved it since the last time I drove it, because when I drove it in the Legacy, the projection was so small that I actually put my iPhone up to the screen, and my iPhone, which was 12 or 13, I don't remember what it was actually bigger than the projection on the screen. And I thought that was insane.
They've clearly been listening to you, Jeff.
Yeah.
And I think we should listen to you a little bit more as you discuss the vehicle that you have been driving this week.
Oh, perfect. I am driving the 2023 Chevrolet Suburban High Country. This is the big daddy, fully loaded, basically the nicest, biggest SUV you can get in the Chevy lineup right now. And it has this really great color, which I did not know was a thing. I guess it's newish for this year, or it might have been last year. It's Silver Sage Metallic. It's kind of like a grayish green, like a minty green. I think the video here is a little hard to see like the green, but once it's in the right light, it looks really good. So yeah, fully loaded. Like, this is a almost $90,000 SUV. It has all the nicest leather.
That's just nuts.
I know. Crazy nice leather. You get Super Cruise on here. This one has the diesel, the 3-liter diesel. So 277 horsepower, 460 pound-feet of torque. This one has the deluxe package. So you get the retractable side steps, LED lighting, panoramic roof, air ride suspension, advanced trailering, all the stuff that you may or may not need. And then you get, in this video, you'll see you get an actual, the entertainment screens in the second row, which I think are pretty neat still.
See, Jeff, I'm gonna push back on the entertainment screens thing, because I think it is one of the worst investments you can make on a car.
I knew this was coming.
Just use an iPad. Just buy an iPad.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, for certain cars, I think it does make a lot of sense to just skip the rear seat entertainment and just get your kids an iPad and be done with it. I drove the BMW i7 with that massive 31-inch screen. And my main issue with that, it looked amazing. My main issue was it is so damn convoluted and difficult to just get any video to play on there. You have to sign in with a BMW account, then you have to do this, you have to go there. I couldn't even figure it out the whole week I was with it. This one, it's basically just a tablet. You literally have the apps, you click on YouTube, you go watch YouTube, and that's it. You don't have to sign in, you don't do crazy stuff. So in that sense, I like that a lot. And if you're paying almost 90 grand for an SUV, it should come standard anyways, which it does. So it's not like you're really dishing out that much extra. So I think it's worth it if you're, I mean, it's nice to have if you're buying this SUV already, I guess.
So let me ask sort of, I think maybe the obvious question probably. We're talking almost 90 grand for the top of the line Chevrolet Suburban. Why not a Yukon or at this price point, an Escalade?
The Escalade gets even pricier with a lot of the same stuff you get here. So Super Cruise is standard on the High Country with the lane change assist. Is Super Cruise standard on Escalade now?
No, it's still an option, but I was going to say the real reason you get this over a Cadillac, you have the same MagnaRide suspension, the same air suspension. The ride quality is very, very, very nearly as good. Yeah. You have the same powertrain lineup. It's the 6.2, the 3-liter eco diesel, and
the 5.3.
The 5.3 you can't get on the Escalade, but you can get on this. You shouldn't, because the 6.2 and the diesel are so good. So good.
To your point, the ride, you do have to pay extra for the deluxe package. It's a few grand. I should have written that down, but I didn't. But that comes with all the air suspension and all that stuff. And yeah, the ride is, I would say, equivalent to the Escalade. Like, it doesn't feel any different than driving the Escalade, which I've driven a lot. So yeah, it's definitely, I mean, 90 grand is a lot in general, but it doesn't feel like that much when you compare it to the Escalade, which can go, you know, 150 with options.
Yeah, this car came out back during like the dark days of COVID, and I ended up somehow doing the first drives for Suburban Yukon and Escalade, and driving all three, and of course the ones that they sent were loaded. I mean, it was a Denali, a High Country, and an Escalade, and the ride quality in all three was virtually identical. You're really paying for the style, and in the Escalade's case, you're paying for the gorgeous interior, which I will say is much nicer than what you get here, much more impressive in terms of like screen real estate.
Yeah, I was going to say the screens in here they're not bad. But when you think about what you can get in the Escalade and even the new, what was it, the Corsair that had those crazy screens? I think Lincoln is kind of going all out
Nautilus
on screens now.
Nautilus has their big, like,
that's right.
That. Yeah, the big side to side. It looks slick.
Yeah, when you see what other companies are doing with touch screens and even passenger side screens, it's kind of hard to like say that this is equivalent, but it's definitely not bad. Like, I love the updated GM interface, which is, we've seen on the Hummer and a few others. I think it's a few years old now, but just the infotainment is nice and clean, super easy to use, wireless Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. Here's me using the rear seat screen to visit our YouTube page.
You should like, follow, and subscribe to that YouTube page if you're watching YouTube, this right exactly. Now.
Motor One.com. Or no, it's not Motor1.com. It's just Motor One on YouTube. Sorry.
Just Motor One on YouTube.
Just yeah. Motor One. Motor1.com, yeah. Facebook, Motor1.com, Twitter. We gotta put in the shout outs.
Yeah, so I like it a lot. I've been driving it now for 6 days, and I've really enjoyed it. I think it's still too big for me. I know a lot of people will like how big it is, and they'll like how much space it has. And it has a huge trunk even behind the third row. But you can actually get, I would say you can get 80% of the features here in like a Yukon, right? Or like a nice Tahoe.
Little Tahoe. Yeah. I mean, this is, you can get a Tahoe High Country with, you know, the same ride quality and all that stuff. You know, you might be giving up a little bit of towing capacity and whatnot, although I don't know that off the top of my head. But yeah, I think I'd say 99% of the stuff that's on Suburban, you can get on Tahoe.
Yeah. That would be my only gripe. It's a little big, but other than that, I really like it. I think it's a really, really great three row.
How do you like the power? Oh, go ahead, Smith.
I was just going to say one thing in person. I mean, I've only seen these in photos so far in video. The front face with just the big grill design doesn't translate that well to me on photos. Did you have a similar take seeing it in person? Is it better? Is it worse in person?
I think the general Chevy aesthetic these days is not great. with their bigger stuff. I think the C-shaped kind of running lights and the big grille is not my cup of tea, but it doesn't look terrible. I don't think it's the worst design in the world. Here, it looks a little strange, especially I think the back end is really, really nice. Like it has just the clean tail lights, that nice silvery bar against the back. Like it's pretty slick, but then the front's a little wonky, but I don't hate it. It's just not my favorite.
I mean, I think it's an improvement over what they were doing before, especially like on the heavy duty trucks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just has that vibe. I would go just on looks alone. I would go with Yukon.
Well, Yukon, it's worth noting Yukon. So the standard Yukon has the exact same like front dash arrangement as the S Suburban and Tahoe. Mm-hmm. But if you upgraded the Denali, that has an entirely different dash design, which feels a little bit more premium. Like the display doesn't feel like it's tacked on like that. It's better integrated into the dash. So it's one of those weird times where it's like, you know, Chevy or GM as a whole actually really did put some real effort into distinguishing these cars from each other. Mm-hmm. In terms of Chevy, I think their design, overall design language kind of lacks cohesion a little bit. But I personally like this design. You know, I live in Detroit. I see these things all the time. It's really, really growing on me. You know, a black one of these, it's a pretty sharp looking car.
Yeah. See, I'd go with the green. I'd stick with this green and I'd black out, which you can get black wheels. And I think you can get a black package for the grill. I think that would be.
It's very Miami of you, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's
very Miami.
I wasn't going to say it, but.
I will. So Jeff, this is a 3 liter. Do you have this or the V8, the 6.2? Because they're both fantastic engines.
This does not feel underpowered at all. It's only 277 horsepower, but you get those 460 pound feet, which I think is equivalent to what you get on the 6.2 in terms of torque. It definitely doesn't feel underpowered. If I want something maybe a little faster, although I don't know why you would need to be driving this thing quickly, you could probably upgrade to the 6.2 and have a little more fun with it, but I never felt like it was underpowered. I will say that the diesel roar is a little loud when you're really gunning it, but other than that, I don't see why you would upgrade.
I've always thought the Duramax sounds really, really great, like under like a full boot of steam. But what always impressed me about it was just how quiet it was at highway speeds. I mean, you don't hear the engine at all while you're going down the highway. And with a 6.2, you hear there's always kind of that little bit of rumble in the background. It's not dramatic, but it's a little thing that might wear on you after a while.
Yeah, for sure. This is probably great. I mean, I actually drove the Escalade a few years ago took it on a road trip from Atlanta to Tennessee, and I really, really loved that thing just as like a road trip vehicle. And I think this would be really good too. Like just the air ride suspension, the entertainment in the back, just the ride is so comfortable. I think it would be really nice to take on a long drive.
Oh, for sure. I mean the modern SUVs like this, I mean, they have taken the place of the traditional old school big family sedan, the family truckster going across country. I could like see myself just setting the cruise and just kicking back, relax, letting it do its thing. You said this has Super Cruise, right?
Super Cruise, yeah. I didn't talk about Super Cruise. It has Super Cruise with the lane change assist, which I tested in the Escalade V a few months ago. And I was driving it the other day on the highway and I just ticked it over, you know, to do the lane change. I think it's still better than a lot of the systems out there. The lane change is so seamless, so smooth. Like it accelerates, it brakes smoothly, like depending on whether there's cars or traffic, it just does a really good job. I was even going around just to see how well it did, like a little, like around a little bend in the highway. And I was like, let me see if I can go right with the automatic lane change while I'm kind of bending to the left. Had no issues, just totally seamlessly went into the lane, kept going and had no problems. So it's really good.
Yeah, I think the arms race right now in terms of like driver, like act, like hands-free driver assistance is really interesting. I still think that of the three that I've tried Blue Cruise, Super Cruise, and Lexus Teammate. You know, GM is just head and shoulders above what the others are doing. Although I think Ford is closing. When I used Blue Cruise on the Lincoln Corsair a few weeks back, it did impress me.
Yeah, Blue Cruise is good. BMW's hands-free stuff is pretty good. I think I might have had like one or two hiccups with it when I was driving the i7 versus Super Cruise, which I rarely have any issues with. So, but yeah, there's a lot of good hands-free stuff coming out. But I think GM was ahead of the curve there, and they're doing a good job.
So now let's circle around to the very, very last vehicle of the day. And it is just my favorite car that's on sale today. It is the Ford Bronco. It is the new Heritage Edition. So yeah, let's talk through what you get here. The Heritage Edition, it's in the big one, it's a lot like it was in the Bronco Sport Heritage Edition that Seth drove a few weeks ago. This one has white wheels, a white grille with red lettering. There's a red pinstripe or a white pinstripe with white Bronco badging at the very front and a white roof. On the inside, you have a white dash with red Bronco lettering. It seems like it might be a pretty, you know, low effort package, I will say. And Kyle, I not to do it again, but I did upload footage of this one, of the one that I'm driving, which is in black, which looks really, really sharp. The visual impact of this package is just huge. I mean, the car that I've been driving has been getting looks left, right, and center as it goes down the road. It's, mm-hmm. you know, white wheels, white roof, white detailing, and a black body in a two-door. And it is damn cool.
When you see one of these in person, and I've seen quite a few of them in person now, it turns your head. I mean, even for somebody like us here, that knows it's out there, it's like, oh, that's the Heritage. It stands out. I mean, that's a very astute assessment, Brandon. Probably a very low effort. Let's put a little bit of white on the grill, some white wheels, and some white striping, and call it good. Low effort, big impact, and it has definite cool factor. Cool factor.
And the thing that kind of impressed me about this is, if you look back to the very, very debut of the Bronco, we're talking June of 2020. A lot of the details that are on these cars were on those pre-production or very early production mm-hmm. body shells that we saw, like the white grille with the red lettering, the white dash with the red lettering. Both of those were things that were on these display shells that just never really translated to production. But we're seeing Ford use them now. And I gotta say that the effect is really something else.
I think more than a lot of manufacturers, I think Ford does very light special editions super, super well. Like it's not a nightshade package where they just black out everything, or, you know, it's not like a very light upgrade and then they try and tell you it's something else. Like Ford doesn't necessarily, there's no power or anything else different on this, right? It's just an aesthetic upgrade.
No, so like the Sport, there are, you can get the standard Heritage Edition or you get the Heritage Edition Limited. Mm-hmm. The standard Heritage Edition, here we go. This is the exact one that I have, which looks just the business in black, man. Like it looks absolutely fantastic. So you can get it with the 2.3 liter turbocharged four cylinder or turbocharged 2.3 liter four cylinder or the twin turbocharged 2.7 liter V6, 10 speed automatics in both, or you can get the four cylinder with the 7-speed manual. Mine has the 10 speed auto with the 2.3. It is the non limited. The limited you can only get in one color, unfortunately, and only with the V6, which is a little bit disappointing. But to answer your question, Jeff, mechanically it's identical.
Yeah, but it looks, I mean, the footage, the B-roll that we showed first, and then this footage here, it looks like a toy. Like if you zoom out really far, it looks like a little toy truck just based, I don't know, but the colors make it look so much smaller and more compact, but I kind of love
it. I think it's the white wheels that does it. And
it's the white wheels on the white roof. I mean,
I have an old Torsho project car sitting in my garage that has white slicers on it from that came off a white show, and it's a blue car. And I was going to get rid of those white wheels. And damn it, Brandon, I'm kind of looking at this now. I'm like, maybe I'll keep those white wheels.
White wheels are good. Bring back white wheels.
White wheels, they're just a pain in the ass to take care of. Although I will say this thing has not produced a lot of brake dust. So I don't know if that's, you know, if that will change things a little bit. There are a couple of other small changes for the Heritage Edition. The wheel arches are slightly different. They've got a little bit more of an angle to them, whereas on the standard Bronco they are straight, you know, perfectly rounded. There's a little bit of a bend at the front and the back of them, and you get this kind of neat upholstery, this kind of semi-plaid upholstery. I don't know why I zoomed in so much on the red accents there, but I love the white dash. The white dash too is so good.
I like those seats a lot.
The white, did you find the white dash distracting at all while you were driving?
No, I've been driving in the driving this a lot. It's the poor Subaru. No, I've been driving this a lot this week. I don't find it distracting at all. I think it's probably one of my favorite parts because it does make the cabin look so clean. If you look at like a Bronco Badlands or a Raptor even, that slab dash is not nearly as interesting of a color. And it kind of makes the cabin feel a little bit cheaper. This kind of reminds me of that like magnesium beam that you get in a Land Rover Defender, which you can also get colored in like a powder coated white. So it does make the cabin feel quite a bit richer.
Now, I wonder if the people watching this who watched last week are going to call us hypocrites for calling out the Challenger Special Edition for as a pretty weak visual package compared to this, which is, I think it's pretty good, but it's still not like the most amazing package visually, I guess.
I think what this does really well, first of all, I don't know how limited this is or if it's just for the 2023 model year. But I think that the difference here is that these small details are used to much greater effect. And they are executed in a manner that does not involve elements of them falling off.
That's true. That is
which,
true.
which that right there automatically elevates it.
Check.
But no, I think that is an entirely valid argument. You know,
the price too probably plays a big factor in this, right? Because the Challenger was almost $100,000, and I can't imagine this is way pricier than a normal standard Bronco.
So this is based off of the Big Bend, which is a volume trim. It comes standard with the Sasquatch package, and it comes standard with the mid equipment package, which is heated seats and a couple of other things. And it is, I'm trying to pull it up right now. Heritage Edition is $46,605. And the Big Bend without the Sasquatch package, mind you, is 38. If I option up the Sasquatch or option up the Big Bend to kind of match this.
I mean, 46 already is not terrible. That's a pretty reasonable price.
It's 44 for a similarly equipped Big Bend, and you're getting the white detailing that kind of stands out. I think it's a perfectly reasonable price, honestly. Mm-hmm. $2,500 for this level of like uniqueness relative to the other Broncos. It's also the only way to get a colored roof on the Bronco in this model year. Mm-hmm. Although I have a feeling that this white roof, this is a painted white roof right now. It's not the molded in color. We'll see this added as an option for the 2024 model year in some way. I don't know if it'll go full body color. But I would not be surprised if this were offered as a premium roof option in the next model year. I don't think what Ford is asking for this is exorbitant. Now, in the case of the Heritage Limited, which is $69,000.
Yikes.
That's a lot of money for a V6 Bronco Sasquatch. Somehow I think they jacked up the price on the Raptor because it's at 83 right now.
Jeez.
Which is just hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I would see no need to go up to the Limited.
I think as a Florida man, I think the Everglades edition is still my favorite in terms of just visuals and everything.
But so that one is notably not on the configurator anymore. So I think your only chance of finding one of those is on the used market, my friend.
Dang.
That was a great package, though. That was a special edition, like, done really, really, really well.
Well, I'd like too that this package here, Heritage. I mean, yeah, it's a package. Let's make it up something a little special. But I mean, it's also tugging on some heartstrings, right? It's not a package just for the sake of put a package on it. Let's call it the buy it here today package. You know, there's a little bit more purpose. There's a little bit more meaning behind it, and I think that's reaching some people.
Absolutely, and I think it helps in this case where, you know, the Bronco is still at least I'm guessing outside of Detroit. In Detroit, Broncos are friggin' everywhere, man. Like, it used to be, like, 6 months ago, it was just Bronco Sports. Now I can't go out and not come across half a dozen Broncos over a 10-mile drive. They are everywhere.
There are, to your point, there are 3 Bronco Heritage Editions sitting on the lot at my local Ford dealership in my little town of 1,500 people.
Yeah, I mean...
So they are out there.
I really like this as a package. I think it's great. I mean, yeah, I could just rave about this thing for a while.
Have you had a chance to go off road with it, or are you doing anything like going down any sort of, by off roads? I mean, it's like gentle kind of, hey, let's see what this dirt road is.
Oh,
like.
Oh no, this thing is a Sasquatch. I mean, this has got the high clearance suspension. It's got the 35s. Like, it can do some stuff off road. The only thing that this one is missing, you can't, because it's based on the Big Bend, you cannot get the rock crawl drive mode setting, and you cannot get the disconnecting front sway bars. And both of those are kind of, I'd have a hard time if I were buying one of these to go off road. I'd have a hard time living without those two things, especially the stay bar disconnect, because it makes big. Such a huge difference in terms of like articulation and even ride quality. Going down a washboard dirt road with the sway bars disconnected it's pretty cool. it's amazing how isolated the steering becomes. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try and get out and get it a little bit muddy this weekend. I think that's the thing that's going to happen.
Well, I was going to say, as a sort of a preview maybe to next week, I actually am getting the Bronco Sport tomorrow for the first time. I have not driven that thing, so I'm pretty excited to drive that. And I actually wanted to take it out. There's a little trail, I don't know, about an hour and a half west of me in the Everglades. That's not like a tough trail, but just want to take it out there and see how it does in this little soft-roading kind of path.
You guys got to send some of these to me. I've got like like legit ORV trails like 5 miles that way. Let's go.
Well, we got Holly Oaks. That's about as good as I can get for off roading.
The price I pay for living in the boonies in the north here.
Yeah. So I mean, Jeff, I'm very eager to hear what you think of the Sport. That is one. I'm kind of surprised we haven't gotten you into it yet. So. You'll be on next week talking about that. I'm trying to think what else we have next week. Next week, we probably won't see Mr. Brett Evans because he is going to be running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But Mr. Seth Miersma will be back, and he'll be talking about the Ford or the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that he's driving right now for moving into his new house. Or he might be talking about the Ford Mustang Mach-E GT that he is getting on Monday. So you guys will have to bug him for all the details on those. And I will not be here because I'm going on vacation. And one last thing before we sign off, we have just published our 50 fastest cars. It is a list of the quickest cars. There's a video component. Please check it out on MotorOne.com. Please check it out on YouTube and on Facebook and on all of the social media. And as always, please, please, please be sure to follow and like and subscribe and press all the buttons to get more of our content and support us. And we really do appreciate it. As always, I am Brandon Turkus. I am joined by Jeff Perez and Chris Smith at the Motor One Test Car Happy Hour. And we will see you all next week. You don't want to miss it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.